Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I want to do something different today because it's almost Palm Sunday and Easter. I want to play something for you this morning to kind of get us thinking about the holiday that's coming up. And the significance of Palm Sunday means a lot, at least to me. But what I want to do today is I want to paint a musical picture for you. I want to take you to Israel. And if you've never been there, not to worry. We're going to go in just about 30 seconds. If you have ever gone, I know you came home a changed person. You cannot go to Israel and not be changed. To walk the places where Jesus actually walked, to go up that Via Dolorosa and know that his feet walked those very stones. Oh, man. The Mount of Beatitudes. To end up at Golgotha and actually see those holes, the place of the skull. I'm going to paint a picture for you on the piano, walking today where Jesus walked.
Thank you.
truly just one of the most gifted people I have ever worked with. Grateful to have another one of the most gifted people I've ever worked with, and that's Dave Bennett. Give Dave a hand, will you? All right, Dave's off the road. He's home. And we keep getting a request for this song, too, by the way.
Our greatest hit.
Yeah, that's right. Our greatest hit. You can say wow if you want to. Go ahead. I know. They call me cool. I know what I need. I do what I want. Act I please. I am the center of my universe. I always think of myself first. But now I've died and there's the man on his throne. Days on earth, from this very moment, the day of my birth, and I realized there were many times I could have got on the gospel train, but it's too late for me, baby, no turning back. Ooh, got the judgment day. My peace, my time is up. You can, wait a minute. Applaud for that, will you? Just for that section alone. Wow. Said my peace, my time is up. I'd love to talk to you, but there's that awesome voice calling out my name. Ooh, got the judgment day.
Holy moly! So we all have these circumstances in our life that are so hard on us. Some of those circumstances are on the inside. Other circumstances are on the outside. This song's about the ones on the inside. Just across the sea, on this world so round, the sun's shining hot right now. And even though the winter still surrounds this town, I can still feel that sun somehow. And I know that my sun will shine just as sure as this world can spin. I can hold on fine. Yeah, it's almost time for that sun to come round again. I'll walk beside the sea on this frozen ground where there once was a warm weather crowd. And even though that summer is a long time gone, I can still feel that sun somehow. And I know that my sun will shine just as sure as this world can spin. I can hold on fine. Yeah, it's almost time for that sun to come round again. When your love grows cold and your heart goes dark, and the blame seems to fall on you, look how seasons do change. And don't think it's so strange that how we feel goes in circles too. And just know that your sun will shine just as sure as this world can spin. You can hold on fine. Yeah, it's almost time for that sun to come round again. Yeah, we can hold on fine. Yeah, it's almost time for that sun to come round again. And then there are circumstances on the outside that we don't have control over either. And that makes life pretty difficult. And Jesus said in this world, gonna have trouble. Wish it wasn't true. And it makes life very difficult. You know, there's some stuff I'm going through, Debbie and I are going through, I wish we weren't going through. There's some heartbreaking things that all of us face. We can face them with the Lord. He stands beside the window. He watches cars go by. He waves at everybody. He's just a friendly guy. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't talk much anymore. Sometimes he cries when he means to laugh. The doctors say he can't tell that. And I go to visit, and I take him out on drives. He wants to go home with me every time. But the nurses come and take him back to his room that's waiting. And I fight to keep my tears inside. From his window, he waves goodbye. Where have the years all gone to? It seems like only yesterday we used to dance upon his shoes back on Sunday afternoons. He was a mountain standing tall, doing his best to raise us all. We always had enough to eat. He worked two jobs to make ends meet. But now it seems that he can't remember that. It's hard for the rest of us to understand. But when I go to visit, he knows my name and he says it. I fight to keep my tears inside. From that window, he waves goodbye. And when I go to visit, well, he knows my name and he says it. Makes me glad I made the drive. From his window, he waves goodbye. From his window, he waves goodbye. So there's stuff on the inside and stuff on the outside that makes life really difficult. But go with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to read from this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures too, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we're your people. You've made us your children because of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. And you've given us your book. And I ask that you would open it to us and apply it the way that only you could, only that you can. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning at verse 3 is where I'm going to begin reading. Now I'll start at verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, the promises that is, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 also, and I'll read a section out of there too. Beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Did you get that? Did you just get that? We're called into this inheritance. Something's coming for you, and it is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation, that is the completion of it, that is, ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, yeah, you're all going through. We all wish we had a genie pop out of a bottle and give us a few wishes, don't we? I mean, what would you wish for? Man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I would love to change circumstances in my life that I have no power over, and I know you do too. But the circumstances in your life are very important for a reason. Here, when I read to you, first of all in 2 Peter, but then in 1 Peter, because both of them are going to apply, is this. It says here about our trials that we suffer in this life, these have come. And then he tells you why. Do you know there's purpose in your circumstances? I know you don't want to hear it, but they're here. We can't change them, and they're going to help us. There are some really good things that are going to come out of these crazy circumstances that are involved in your life, okay? Let me just say this to you. You're probably thinking through a bunch of circumstances that you'd love to give away right now. I talked to a lady this week that's married to a guy that isn't a Christian. She wants to divorce him so she can have a Christian husband. So I had to take her to the First Corinthian letter and show her where Paul said, listen, if you're a believer and your husband isn't, don't leave. If he'll stay with you, don't leave. Or if a brother has a wife who isn't a believer, don't leave. Because God's going to do something incredible in the midst of that situation. And we want to change our circumstances, and God is going to do something fantastic in the midst of those things. And, you know, just like the songs, those things are real. You have dark days. Our emotions go all over the place. We're always fighting that stuff, aren't we? Good days, bad days. Debbie and I woke up, we've had a lot of dark days because it's been so cold, kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then yesterday we woke up and it was St. Patrick's Day, and for some reason the pastor and his wife were laying in bed singing, what you gonna do with a drunken sailor? What you gonna do with a drunken sailor? What you gonna do, drunken sailor, early in the morning? You want to know how to explain that? I can't. Explain it, except that we were all going to wear green yesterday and it was sunny. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Our emotions go all over the place. All over the place. And then seriously, I mean, the situation with my dad rips my guts out every time I go there. One of the hardest things in my life is to fulfill my responsibility as a son and take care of my dad. It breaks my heart. And you know what? There ain't no fixing this right now. My dad's going to go to heaven sometime. Till then, we have the honor of taking care of him and loving him and hating every moment of what he's going through. Maybe you're holding the hand of a loved one that's suffering with cancer. Maybe the doctor's told you terrible news. Maybe you're losing your job. We all hate that stuff. But I'm here to tell you something, that there's a part of this that we can't see. And that is, these things are in our lives, even if they're in our lives for stupid decisions we made. God doesn't waste anything, and he's going to use it in our lives. Don't you wish I had something else to say today? Oh yeah, amen. I know. You know, there's some things you're going to find out. Number one, you're going to find out this. You're going to find out that God keeps his promises. And another way of putting that is this, that God is faithful. Let me read to you this simple statement from the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me just read it to you. You've heard it before, but listen to it again, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, I'm going to read. It goes like this. No temptation has seized you except what is common to men. And
God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. All I know is God is going to remain faithful to you as you go through the midst of whatever this is. Whatever it is, he's going to be faithful. He's made great and precious promises I read in that first section. Those promises are going to be fulfilled in my life and in yours. The understatement of the day in this room is this: God is faithful, and that we cannot even express how incredibly faithful and how he fulfills all of his promises. Fantastic. As you can tell, I don't work out very often. See, I like exercise that like does something, like golf. I know, not many of those golfers have great physiques. Well, in fact, they do now, by the way, ever since the advent of Tiger Woods. But, you know, the rest of them look like me in the old days, you know. And I like that kind of exercise where you're walking, carrying your golf bag, playing. Or if you're splitting wood, I'm actually exerting myself and doing something. Debbie's, you know, misses exercise, and she's got all those, you know, all that stuff. And I remember the first machine we ever bought was a bicycle. And she told me that she did like 6 miles that day. She never left the bedroom. She did 6 miles. That's my definition of boring, okay? I just can't get it. And then, you know, Gall, he was a weightlifter for a lot of years. He's still got some pretty good guns on him and stuff. Weightlifters, there's something about weightlifters. You ever notice guys when they're bench pressing? No, I have at least watched. I might not have participated much, but I watched, okay? And there's something that happens within, you know, in the gym. When a guy's beginning to struggle under it, the guy beside him will get up and spot him, right? And help him with those last couple when it's getting too heavy, and then they actually lift the bar off him and put it in the rack, right? Do you know God's got you spotted in the midst of whatever you're going through right now? He's going to take care of you in this. He has promised he would. He's not going to let you go. And no matter what your circumstances look like, I want you to know God is faithful in the midst of that trial. Amen? It's absolutely true. Number two, this. Not only is there God's faithfulness in trials, there is this fellowship in trials that I've experienced. In fact, I'm going to go now to the 2 Corinthian letter. I'm kind of all over the place today, as you can tell, which is kind of normal for me. Listen to this. Let me read this from Paul. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now listen, there's people all around you that have been through the same stuff that you're going through, and God is going to put them around you in this. There's going to be a fellowship in that suffering. All, you know, whatever I went through, God has always put people in my path to help me and comfort me. In every area of my life. If it's musically, the right people have shown up to help me. If it's financially, 31 years ago when we were just finishing up the house we live in now, we didn't know what we were doing. And we had Ed Santola, my dear friend who's in heaven now, came alongside Debbie and me and explained this to us and helped us. And we started understanding, you know, finance and all the part of construction and, you know, all that stuff. And in the midst of legal struggles sometimes, just the right attorneys were there, just the right people and people who knew their stuff. And God's going to put people around you in the midst of your trouble. And it's more than just dealing with the trouble. It's building a family. It's building a fellowship in your life of friends and loved ones. Jerry Westfall tells this story. He wrote an incredible book. It's called this. I had to buy it just for the title. Getting Past What You'll Never Get Over. Getting Past What You'll Never Get Over. He's a pastor out in Washington State, or at least was. He's retired now. But John tells this story of, he's got these crazy guys in his church, and they wanted to sail. Now, I'm going to tell you some sailing stories today, not necessarily about me, but about other people, because that is one of my biggest fears, is being out on the water. It's not true for John. Bam. They're out there floating all the time. But for me, I feel out of control out there. That's why I get seasick all the time. And all that. I feel out of control. I don't like it. And anyhow, so John was saying, these guys in the church asked him to go on a sail with them. They were going to take several weeks and go out sailing. They were going to leave from Seattle, go up through the San Juan Islands, through the Northwest Passage to Alaska. I mean, that is just awesome. Here's the thing. John doesn't know anything about sailing. So he was the gopher, okay? They told him, hey, John, climb out there and grab that and do this and do that. And he fixed the meals down in the galley while they were sailing and all this time. And that's what he did. But then something happened. He said, I was cooking in the galley and I realized the water was up to my knees. And I didn't think that was normal. So we went up to his buddy, the skipper, and said, hey, skipper, are we supposed to have 2 feet of water down here? And the skipper said, no. And he went down, and there was a hole in the bottom of their boat. So they had struck something they didn't know, and it was a geyser in there. And then the bilge pumps stopped working, and they were sinking. And they were in the middle of a frozen sea where, of course, now John didn't know this. And you know what the captain did? He was really cool. He gave John this little bucket and said, start bailing. By the way, John couldn't keep up with it, but he wanted to keep John out of the way and busy with something. He opened a window down there and said, throw the water out the window. And so he's down there doing it, just to get him out of the way so he doesn't freak out. John's thinking he can float. I'll put on my life jacket if this goes down, and we'll float until a boat comes by and whatever. The problem is that you only last about 8 minutes in that frigid water, and you would be gone. He doesn't know that, though, blissfully ignorant. He's bailing away, and everything's going on, and they're sinking. They could have died. So amazing thing happens. They put out a mayday, right? Because that's the first thing that the skipper did, puts out mayday. The Coast Guard said they're several hours away. But something happened. Off in the distance, they see another sailboat approaching them. Sure enough, it's this young couple that have quit their jobs and bought a boat. I know it's a lot of people's dream here. Yeah, I know. And they were sailing around the world. And they came up to them and said, what's wrong? And they said, oh, we got a hole and we didn't know what to do. Well, this guy was pretty talented, this young married guy. So he got on the boat. They pulled up some boards in the galley. He dove down and they had plastic bags and all kinds of junk. And they stuffed it in the hole, made a plug. And then they gave him some gas. And then this fishing boat came by and these two fishermen got on a dinghy and came over and jumped onto the boat with them. And they got a pump and got a pump going and all that stuff. And they got the motor on and they started to roll. And when everything starts getting underway, John says to the two sailors, he says, well, you guys can go now. And he goes, oh, no, it's the rule of the sea. We cannot leave you until we've been released by the Coast Guard. And they stayed with him. And here's the other thing. The young couple in their boat, they turned on their motor too and stayed right beside them all the way into land. They got off the boat, you know, called the ship repair guy in this little town up there in the north. Took them a couple days to get the hole plugged. But when they got off the boat that night, they were exhausted. And they all the restaurants were closed. And they were looking in the windows. And this little old lady turns the lights on, opens the door and said, were you the ones that... Because they were a mess, right? Are you the ones that we heard on the radio? John's friend said, yeah, we're the guys. We're closed, but come on in. What do you boys want? And they turned the lights on, and some of the people in town came over. They had a big party because they'd been rescued. Big party. And then a couple days later, they got back on the boat and continued their journey. Do you see in the midst of trouble, God gives us friends. There's a purpose. A lot of people have been through what you're going through, and God's going to put you in their path or them in your path or however you want to put it. And not only are you going to experience the faithfulness of God, but the fellowship of trials in the midst of that too. And then one more thing, and then I'm done. You're also going to experience, oh, this is the point you don't want to hear. There is not just the faithfulness in trials, not just the fellowship of trials, but this other one is this. It's the focus of trials. These have come, Peter said, so that your faith, that's so more precious than the purest gold, will be proven to be genuine. And then he goes on in his second letter to say, listen, you're going through all this stuff, so let's add all these characteristics to your life. Let's add them to your life. And he gives the whole list. The focus of the circumstances. I know what we want. I want God to change these circumstances. I want to make it so I'm not going through this trouble. If God really loved me, you're more valuable to him than that. And so instead of changing the circumstances, guess who he's going to change? Us. That's exactly right. The focus of the struggles in our lives are so that God can continue to do his great work within each one of us. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true. If you think of it, I mean, there's so much gained within us, you know? James talks about us going through all kinds of trials in our life. And he says, if you don't understand it, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to everyone. You want great understanding? You're going to get great understanding from this. You want great character in your life? Oh, I know it. Character builder. My mother used to say, oh, honey, it's a character builder. I used to hate it when she said that. I just wanted her to make it better. But it says this, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance goodness, to godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. There's all these characteristics God's going to build into your life as you faithfully walk through all of this. I hate sailing. I do it because I love my friends. I'm going to go John and Pam this summer. I'm going to act like I'm not afraid and everything's great. I'm going to have patches on both sides of my ears over here. You'll give me a bucket too? Give me a bucket. But there's something, you know, God isn't going to change the waves and the wind in your life, probably. I know when he walked on the water, once they got into the boat, he told everything to calm down. But before then, Peter had to learn to walk on the water before the waves and the wind quit. So that's not going to happen. But what happens is, you know, these seasoned, salty sailors, they know what to do. They get out in the storm. They know what to do. They're not bothered by it. It's just a storm. And they know how to set the tack and the sails to handle the storm. God's teaching us in the midst of this trial how to set the sails of our lives. Oh man, it was cookie week at our house. You should have been there. It was unbelievable. We had shamrock sugar cookies all over the place. Did you ever notice when you all are baking, and I'm not necessarily a baker, I make a pretty good cherry pie. In fact, a terrific cherry pie. I can even lattice the top, I want you to know. That's right. Don't be calling me girly man either. I'm telling you. That's a great trait. Especially when your wife loves cherry pie and it's her birthday. Sometimes she's baking one of her famous cakes and she'll pull it out of the oven, baby. It's hot in there. It's 350 degrees in there. That's smoking hot, right? That cake wants out of there. That cake is hot. The heat is on, you know? And she'll pull that thing out and she'll take like a knife or a toothpick, usually a knife though, and she'll stick the knife in it and see if there's any moisture clinging to it. Now, it might look done. It might be all nice and dark and crusty on the outside. It might smell wonderful, but she looks on the inside to see if that thing's done or not. And if it ain't done, it's back in the oven for more heat. I know we don't like this stuff, but you know what? There is a God directing all things in the lives of his people, and he knows what he's doing. Now, do I like it? No! I don't like it. But can I trust him in the midst of it? Yeah, I can. He knows how much heat we need to help us become what it is he intends us to become. And when you're done going through this trial, start looking around, because he's going to bring you into the lives of the people that need your wisdom and your understanding. Okay, one more sea story. Tony Evans. Tony tells a story of being on an ocean liner with his wife, and they went through an awful storm, 40-foot waves, okay? It was supposed to be one of those Bible study cruises, you know, go with these Bible teachers, and you will be blessed. They all had buckets out then, okay? They were all sick, plates were flying off, people are falling down, everybody was had to stay in their cabins. Tony's wife couldn't take it anymore. She's a pretty strong woman. They're on this cruise, and this huge ship is just rocking and rolling. And she tries to get to the bridge. She wants to talk to the captain, you know? What is he doing leaving us out? She is upset, she's seasick, she's miserable, and they wouldn't let her in, but she talked to the first mate or some, whoever those upper guys are in that whole thing. Another guy with a uniform, and he said, "What is it you want to tell the captain? What are you doing, bringing us out into this? You knew better. You knew the weather." What did she had a bunch of complaints. He said, "I'll be right back." He goes in, comes out. The captain has two things for me to say to you. Number one, you can sleep tonight because he's staying up all night on the bridge. He's going to get this ship through this. Number two, you can go and sleep tonight, not just because the captain's on the bridge taking care of it, but this ship was built for this. We're not going down. And she careened her way back to her room and was sick for the rest of the night, but she knew it was in good hands. So are you. This isn't over. He's going to be faithful. There's going to be great fellowship in the midst of it all. And I'm telling you, I know you're the focus of your trials. God's going to use everything to help us become what we're supposed to become. All right, I'm done. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, a lot of my friends here are going through stuff they never thought they'd face.
and the sea is high and the winds blow in our life. And I ask you for the life of everybody standing here with me, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit on us and that you would give us understanding beyond our time, our years, our age, our ability. Would you help us to not throw in the towel, but to keep going, knowing that you are going to continue your great work in us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for gathering a family around us in the midst of our trouble. And thank you so much that you're actually going to cause us to grow and profit in the midst of it. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.